quick. Run for your life. It's the Loot Mechanics Podcast. Beerless and Skolmas have returned from beyond space and time to wreak havoc upon all they survey while chatting sarcastically about video and tabletop gaming. With snark and poorly thought out hot takes, they may bring even the strongest man to their knees, shattering even the most stalwart sanity. Run while you still can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Skolmas.
And I'm Beerless.
So, what have you been doing this week?
Suffering.
Well, okay, yeah, that's life is suffering, but have you been doing anything gaming-wise?
Oh, yeah, I've been trying to play No Man's Sky. I keep getting places in it and then realizing that I could do it better, so I start over. And so I'm slowly but surely getting things the way I want it.
Nice. I haven't done anything.
Well, that's a shame.
I updated a bunch of games on my laptop so that I would...
Well, I was going to say, updating them isn't the same as playing.
No, but I was just hoping to be ready to play them and then watch Snyder Cut of Justice League twice.
Why?
Well, it's better than the Joss Whedon cut.
And it's still the Justice League.
Yeah. So it's down there with the weakest of the Marvel.
Yeah.
I would say the, not just Marvel, but I mean the common, what's considered part of the MCU.
Like Iron Man 2.
Yeah, not Howard the Duck. But yeah, like down there in the Iron Man 2, Avengers 2, Incredible Hulk sort of area.
Which Incredible Hulk?
The Incredible Hulk. First one was right. Hulk.
The other one was just the Hulk.
Right. So yeah.
The Ang Lee, that one sucked so bad.
Right. I fell asleep during it twice. No, I mean the Edward Norton that most people like to forget.
It wasn't horrible. It wasn't fantastic, but...
I still haven't watched all of it. And I like Edward Norton. He's one of my favorite actors. But I'm sorry. The Hulk is not my favorite character. I like current Hulk. I think they do a good job with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care for him in his own separate movie. Because that just... sad and boring, but whatever. How did we get on that topic? Oh yeah, I watched Snyder Cut.
Right.
Hey, do you know they're putting out another version of it?
Why?
This time in black and white.
Whoopty friggin' do.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, well, you're a masochist too.
Yeah. Well, there's scenes that bug me so much.
The whole movie bugs me.
In the original, this one scene is entirely in the dark. Guy comes into a room, into his, you know, his apartment. Dark inside. Parademon inside that snatches him. Cyborg's dead. Okay? That made sense. Scene worked. In the new version, he comes in, the lights are on. So that you can see. A recorder that was smashed earlier in the movie that's on the counter. And he goes, oh, Victor. Goes over and sees lights still on. Sees all this stuff taken out of the closet. Oh, Victor. Where the mother box was. And then it switches to, they now cut to that section from the original scene, which is in the dark. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars on reworking this movie from what Joss Whedon did to it back to what closer to what Zack Snyder wanted, right? And they couldn't bother to transition that with a simple sound of the power shutting off. There's a poo or lights, you know, a couple frames of one of the lights burning out to account for it being dark all of a sudden. They did reshoots. How hard is this?
Well, maybe they didn't look too hard at the continuity.
Some editor needs to be fired. I'm sorry. And anybody that says, oh, Zack Snyder's a genius. Really? He had to know. I'm sorry. This is the sort of thing you don't let walk out of your editing room. You're supposedly fixing your movie. Okay. Fix it. Anyway, enough of that. Shall we move on?
Sure.
The main topic.
So, Bielus.
Yes.
Was it last week we talked about Rifts?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. In retrospect, I think maybe we were a little harsh on the game.
What's this we? I've never been a fan of Rifts, or Rift, I should say. Never played it. Don't want to play it. I don't think that's harsh.
Okay. Well, I was talking about how Gamigo appeared getting ready to kill off, and that it's sad.
Okay.
Especially it's on its 10th anniversary right now. And it's just, you know, seemed really sucky. So
okay.
I felt bad about what I had to say, even though it's probably justified in many ways. After looking at the game again, maybe I was a little hasty in my comments. Because sure. There hasn't exactly been any new content for me. And I don't know if there's going to be any big new content drops anytime soon. But that said, it's not exactly like the game's on maintenance mode either. For example, Anthem, right? That is a game on maintenance mode. They just flat out said, BioWare just said, hey, not developing for this anymore. This is all you get. They tried to be nicer about it, but that's it. The game is dead. Sure, people can still play it, but it's dead. It's not going to go anywhere ever again. Rift, on the other hand, is getting attention. Not big attention, mind you, but attention just the same.
So, no new expansions, but at least you're getting, you know, story content update.
Not even a story update content. I wouldn't even go that far. But they're doing stuff to keep people entertained, at the very least. Maybe the Raiders, high-end Raiders, they're not super happy about it. But for those people that are playing Rift, they're getting stuff to do. You know, there's always the holidays, right? Every MMO has holiday content pops up, right? Well, they're doing that, of course. But they're also posting up new stuff nearly every weekend. They're turning on some sort of event. That's one good thing that Rift always had. Tons of shit to do that were just stuff they could turn on, like budgie racing, which are
okay.
Giant budgie mounts, effectively chocobo, just budgie. You know, the cute little birds.
Uh-huh.
And now you're riding around on one. And while you might think, hey, Gormy, that's lame as fuck. And
well, to put it mildly, yeah.
You're not wrong, but for people that are really into the game, especially people that are completionists, and you know how people in MMOs can be completionists. Being able to jump in and do races for fun, to be able to try and work towards getting a new colored mount to add to their stable, even if it is a giant bird, it's still a new mount. Something fun to get a little bit of stuff. Isn't that what MMOs are? You do grindy content, which is sometimes more fun than others, to get small rewards that are easily replaced or easily copied. You just do a color swap and suddenly, hey, look, you took this blue mount and turned it into a red mount. That red mount to a black mount, and you just can release them. A bit here, a little bit there, maybe you put one, a exclusive one, you put it for sale on the store. That one is shimmery. Just has a particle effect on it. It's the same mount, but charge $10 for it, right? Little things. Keep players going. Keep them happy. Because if it's the same thing over and over and over and over, they're going to go, I already have all those mounts. Why would I bother? I'm not going to play this game. And they slowly fade away. But if you keep little things in there, keep them interested, keep them playing. And that's what's most important about this, is by keeping all these other players in the game, they are content for the whales. For the whales that want to go and do the big content, that want to go to all the dungeons, even the raids, if they don't have other players to play with, why would they stay and spend all the big money, like buying the gear so that they can get themselves up to raiding status? There's no raiders there. Why are they going to spend that money? So, yeah, maybe this isn't for the best of intentions. It's not to, oh, we're doing it for the fans. No, they're doing it so that they keep people spending money, but the longer they're in the game, the more likely they are to spend money, right?
That's the concept, yeah.
Yeah. Well, right now, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, I'm just going to go and look at what's been going on since start of March, right? We're recording this towards the end of March. March 5th, they had Unicornalia heard, which was an event where you can increase your collection of unicorn mounts and pets. Yeah, both. Then on the 18th, a couple weeks later, they did a call to action, Budgie Madness. Part of their celebration of the 10th anniversary, they had Budgie Racing. March 25th, week after that, Carnival of the Ascended kicked off. Really get the 10th anniversary going. And that is going to be running for 4 freaking weeks. It's a phased event, as always. It's literally carnivals going on all over the planet and all the major cities. And you've got balloons that you take out. Now you think, oh, it's a balloon. What's so big deal about taking out a balloon? Well, some of them are like taking out a raid boss. You need a bunch of people to take it out before the timer expires. Don't kill it before the timer expires. You don't get any rewards out of it. Because it's kind of like a pinata that is really, really hard to kill. It'd be funny if the pinata fought back, but to my knowledge, they don't. My sweetie and I used to go and track them down just for fun. Half of our time during the freaking celebrations. You remember in Rift, the pinatas? Yeah, she remembered. Thank you for the coffee. But she bought me a coffee. So anyway, there's that going on right now. What else? Oh, bonus weekend. As we're speaking, there's a bonus weekend going on in-game. What does that do?
What does bonus weekend mean?
Bonus weekend is double experience, double dungeon currency, and double zone event currency, which just encourages people to go out there, earn experience, work on alts, earn up dungeon currency so that they can not have to spend cash on dungeon stuff, or no, they can buy it with their dungeon currency. And zone event currency is for basically spending at other store things. Yeah. Anyway, couple that with the Carnival of the Ascended stuff going on at the same time. Basically, you've got a good reason for a lot of people to be out there.
Quiet again.
Did I lose you again?
Yep, you dropped out.
Lovely. Well, I'm back now.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I was saying, right now, there's a big reason to just be in the game, playing like mad. And it's kind of awesome. And this is going to continue. I can look back even further than just March. They've been having stuff going on every few weeks. Now, there's more right now because of the carnival, but every few weeks, they've been having stuff going on just to get people in the game. That's not maintenance mode.
No, but it's bare minimum.
Sure. Sure. But it's Gamigo.
And I don't know what they expect to really gain from this. Because a much more popular game that has full expansions going, who they have their events going all the time. And they're bleeding customers at an astounding rate. World of Warcraft is, I mean, if you want to listen to all the hyperbole that it, you know, is going around about WoW dying, they are bleeding customers bad. And they have probably one of the best setups that a game could have. That's why they've been so popular for so long.
Yes, but it's kind of hard to compare WoW and Rift, because WoW did jump with Shadowlands, with the release of Shadowlands, jump back up to like 10 million players in the main active game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most it's been since Wrath of the Lich King. Now, that's great and all, but with the game has always gone up with the subscription and then barrels down. They're on the downward slide for Shadowlands. And the game's only been out. I mean, the expansion's only been out, what, 6 months? Maybe?
Maybe.
And I don't know. I didn't buy it. But when people say, oh, there's a lot of people leaving the game, yeah. Because
no,
they
it's
have,
more than that. From what I've been hearing, it's a lot more than that.
Perhaps. But if they lose 30% of their players, if they lose 3 million people, oh, that's a lot of people leaving. They still have 7 million. And these are just numbers I'm pulling out of my ass. I don't know what their current numbers are. But
I think it's something like 4.6.
That's still one of the biggest MMOs out there, if not the biggest. No, I'm sorry. There are games out there that have like 100 million, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
For subscription model MMOs, that's huge. Rift, at its peak, had around 1.2 million, and that was its Storm Legion, its first expansion. Now, it's at a point where it doesn't bleed customers. It just kind of remains with it. Its ebbs and flows are really small, and it just kind of stays there. It's like small ripples in a pool. Whereas with WoW, their ebbs and flows are massive storm waves. And that's just bad management on their part, in my opinion. I think after 10 years, people have gotten used to the way Rift is going to be now. Sure, they'd love to have new content. And let's say an expansion comes. I'm not saying it will, but let's say it does. Okay, great. How many people are going to come back to Rift? I'm guessing not that many.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, I probably would buy it. But I'm somebody who really liked the game. It's at a point now where the people that want to play Rift are going to play Rift as it is, or tend to dabble in it like I do. Much like Lord of the Rings Online. People that want to play Lord of the Rings Online are playing Lord of the Rings Online, or they dabble in it. Expansion comes out. Oh, I'll give it a try. Then they fade off. Wow. It's a bit more of a swing in their content. But that's their player base. And it's, yeah, that's a bit messy. Anyway, I'm just saying, my point is, I think I was a little bit harsh on Rift and Gamigo. Can they do more? Sure. I would love for them to do more. I would love for them to throw massive amounts of development into Rift and give it the exposure and development it deserves, because it's a good game. And it could be a great game, but it's not a dead game. Am I wrong there?
It's on life support.
No, I wouldn't even go there. Because life support is Anthem. Anthem is still running, but for all intents and purposes, it's dead. Rift has things going on, a reason for people to play. Anthem does not.
No, the way I see it is they're both on life support. The only difference is Anthem has a do not resuscitate order.
That's a good point.
Tabletop gaming news.
So, Bielus.
Yes?
Not sure how to start this topic.
Okay.
There's been a change to one little role-playing game, and I'm very specific on little role-playing game, that could be kind of a watershed moment in tabletop role-playing design.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of the game Lasers and Feelings.
You've mentioned it. It's like a one-page game.
Yeah. It's one of John Harper's many projects. John Harper, of most famous for Blades in the Dark, but he co-authored Aegon, the newest version of Aegon. He's a prolific, let's say. If I remember right, he was also the guy who, in discussing Dungeon World, powered by the Apocalypse, a very, very popular and famous, reacted to it by creating a one or two page game. I mean, it's very, very small, called World of Dungeons. It basically just stripped down Dungeon World to, which is a very convoluted, and the book is freaking thick as a Bible. Just saying. Stripped it down to just this itty bitty game, and it itself has become this massive success. So, yeah, you could say he's kind of a name in tabletop role playing now. Well, he created Some Feelings, which is a one page tabletop role playing game, science fiction, obviously, that is super simple, but really fun. And it's also very, very hackable. His games tend to be sort that are really easy to adapt to other genres, other styles, stripping down to the core components and rebuilding into something new, right? Which he's totally behind. Well, he gives away Lasers and Feelings for. In fact, that's kind of a thing with it. Makes these little games and gives them away, generally. because why wouldn't he make all of his money off of Blades in the Dark, which is like popular, you know? So I think he's doing okay, right? Well, he made a change to Lasers and Feelings, specifically to the licensing for it. It's a copyrighted work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he allows people to hack his game and create their own versions of Lasers and Feelings. But he now has Lasers and Feelings under the Creative Commons license attribution, which is known also as CC BY, which is pretty much the most open Creative Commons license there is. It allows you to make any hack of Lasers and Feelings you want, and then you can sell it whatever you want with it, as long as you just post somewheres in the book, in your game, whether it be a one-page game like Lasers and Feelings or a massive tome like Dungeon World based off of it, you just have to say, this is based on Lasers and Feelings by John Harper. That's it. Sell it. He doesn't want a part of the money. He just wants you to make more hacks. And hacks there are. Like dozens upon dozens upon dozens of hacks already before he made this change. To say the Lasers and Feelings community, especially the hacking community, are kind of happy would be a little bit of a understatement. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
The thing is, I see this as being kind of a big deal for the role-playing community, mostly for the development community.
Yeah.
In one major thing. Now, we've talked before about Storyteller's Vault.
Right.
That's a service where you work with White Wolf to, they take your homebrew stuff for World of Darkness. You use their art assets and their layouts and whatnot. Create your own digital books that are based in the World of Darkness or Chronicles of Darkness, whatever. And you can put them up on the Storyteller's Vault and sell them. And you get a portion of the profits and they get a portion of the profits. It's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we always said, back when that came out, geez, D&D needs something like that. And there's the DMs Guild, which is the same exact thing, even run by the same company, DriveThruRPG, but it's for Dungeons & Dragons. And boy, are there a lot of people using DM's Guild.
It is not.
Then, of course, there's Murek Borg. It's been a hot minute since we mentioned that game. I believe we've talked before about its rather popular and developer-friendly third-party license. You have two choices. You can take your fan content and create it, submit it to them. Well, you can't right now because they're all full up. But when they have slots, when they open it up again, which eventually they may, you would be able to submit your fan stuff to them, and if they liked it, they would, you know, do it all up in the proper formatting and whatnot and make it look all Murek Borg-y, and then either provide it to download for other people. Everybody can see it and download it and whatnot free. Or if it's really good, they would make it available for sale and you'd get some of the money and they'd get some of the money. Very Storyteller's Vault and DM Guild, only you don't have to do formatting. Then, also have their other option. You get your own book, get your own content, and you and make it look like a Merkborg book, all your formatting and whatnot, and art assets, all this cool stuff. And you can sell it and keep all the profit for yourself. All you got to do is say it's a third-party product, not endorsed by company making Merkborg. They have a specific script you have to put into your book. No worries. So there's all kinds of content being made for that. Now, you've got Lasers and Feelings doing effectively the same thing, only for micro content. One page, role-playing game. Stuff that you could knock out in a few days, if not a day, if you're really talented like Harper. This, in itself, I think is a sea change for the industry. Now, a lot of people are going to think, that's overblown, that's hyperbole. Maybe. But let me ask you this, Bielus.
Sure.
If you're a homebrew type role player, you like to write your own stuff. You like to create worlds.
Well, which I do.
Yeah. Now, let's say you wanted to be a tabletop role-playing game to dream of making stuff for D&D. Now, you could take your stuff, and you could write it up and use their assets and create something for DM's Guild, throw it up there, sell it, and get, I think it's 50% of the profit.
Something like that.
Whatever it is. You could do that, and you could make a name for yourself. And maybe even if you're really good, maybe someone will hire you, a Kobold Press, or maybe even Wizards of the Coast. You're really lucky. Or you could go, hey, Merkborg is a really, really simple game. I could make something that and sell it myself, do a Kickstarter for it, because Merkborg, those projects sell, they get backed really fast. And make more money, most likely.
Possibly.
Or less work, in theory. Or you could knock out a really simple pack of Lasers and Feelings, throw that together, throw it up on DriveThruRPG for $1. Throw it up on itch.io for $2. And sure, not going to be a big, huge, you know, bunch of money all at once, but it just sits there and keeps pulling in money little by little, maybe a trickle. But again, why are you having to go to all this trouble of making this big professional style book where you may or may not make money on DM's Guild in the thousands of other projects that are up there? Same thing with Storyteller's Vault, when you could do something smaller for Merkborg, or really small of Lasers and Feelings, and keep all the money yourself.
Well, it really depends upon what kind of a content creator you are, because there's a lot of people who post on DM's Guild, not because they don't have the ability to do it elsewhere, but because that's what they do. They make D&D content. And they don't, you know, why would you change to something you're unfamiliar with when this is what you do? This is what you like to do. Like if I was to sell the D&D content that I create, I just don't see trying to make it work for other systems that I'm unfamiliar with. I would go straight to DM's Guild. And yeah, you're getting maybe 50%. Still worth it. Because I wasn't making any money on it otherwise. And if for some reason it becomes popular and I end up helping with, you know, a new book or a new module or something, then I start to build my name doing what I love.
Sure. That's true. Let me do a jump over to Kickstarter some of my project.
Oh, it's going to take a while.
Yeah, I do have a lot, but this one in particular. As an example, Philip Reed. He is up and coming developer. Does a lot of stuff on Kickstarter, all out of nowhere. Just started slapping stuff up there for Nurkborg. And he's really starting, his name is starting to stand out because he jumped on board the Nurkborg train, and people look, when they see he's got something new, they jump on board and go, hey, I know his other stuff was good. I'm going to do that. Now, let's say Philip Reed decides Nurkborg is very old school Renaissance, very OSR. Let's say he decided to switch things up a little. He makes a game that is compatible with, not technically a Nurkborg compatible project. He writes something that is just compatible with OSR in general, maybe more in line with old school essentials or the Black Hack, something like that. Now, a lot of the people that follow him are going to go, oh, it's not for Nurkborg. But a lot of those people, me, would go, oh, he's doing stuff for other content too. I happen to have old skills, which is to say, I have OSR games. Jeez, I think I would like to have that book. And I would back his content because he's just a good developer. And more you're going to see that, I think. People jumping on board. There could be the next Philip Reed. Could be somebody knocking out games based on Lasers and Feelings. And instead of putting them up on Kickstarter, they're going to start spamming them up onto DriveThruRPG. And the thing is, you don't even have to put them up there as for any particular money. Put them up there for pay as you want, recommended price $1 or $2. And that's fine. A lot of people will go, nah, I'm going to make that zero and I'm just going to get it for free. Probably the majority of people would. But all it takes is somebody to go, eh, what's $1? What's $2? You know, I'm willing to throw that at it, especially as the person starts to a name for themselves. Hey, I remember that guy. He did this before. I liked that stuff, especially if they set themselves to follow him on DriveThru or itch.io. And that's how you get your name out there. Get your name spread just by taking a good content, good product, making your own hack, and getting out there. You don't need Storyteller's Vault. You don't need DM's Guide Guild anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I think it's just impressive. I'm really cool, you know, really happy with the idea, and it makes me want to, I've been wanting to create my own game for a while, keep getting distracted, but...
No, not you.
I know. But I have downloaded Lasers, which, by the way, is, again, free to download. Go find it. But I downloaded it, gave it a perusal. I'm thinking of making a hack just to start warming things up and to get me, you know, get my development juices flowing, get me back into the PBTA game that I've been working on. You know, baby step.
Wrapping things up.
Okay, so Bielis, I'll stop dominating the conversation now. Sorry about that.
What? I didn't have a whole lot to say about it. I don't honestly know much about either of those games.
I know, but Clearly, I am super excited about that.
Clearly.
Anyway, is there something else you would like to speak about before we go?
Well, you know, the first episode you were talking, or the first bit, we were talking about how, you know, content updates for games. Well, there's another update coming to No Man's Sky. The reason people are saying this is because the guy who runs the show, every time an update is coming out, he tweets a little emoji. Like, I think it was on the companions one, he did a little cat's head emoji, and that was the entirety of his post. Well, now he's done another one, and all the rumor is it's an exploration symbol. I can't remember which symbol he used, but they're thinking it means exploration. So he's adding, you know, something special to the game for exploration fans.
Isn't that what the game is? Exploration?
A huge part of it, but it kind of gets old quickly because it's, you know, procedurally generated. So, I mean, you're seeing the same kind of planets. I mean, they're beautiful and everything, but after a while it gets a little, you know, seen it, done it, and the urge to explore just isn't there. Although I gotta say, having a rover that lets you go dune buggy driving all over the area is a lot of fun. Or you can use the hover bike version, or the massive sand crawler, because that's what it looks like. It looks like a sand crawler from Star Wars.
Huh.
It just doesn't have, you know, treads. It has wheels.
Now, I did happen to see another slight bit of other gaming news that I wanted to go.
Sure.
Did you know that Palladium Books is putting out new content for a bunch of their games?
Okay.
I don't mean just like new source books for Rift on the Supernatural or anything like that. I mean new editions of those games. I mean, we always complained that like plastic would peel up on the corners and covers their books.
Oh, they were shit printing.
Right. Well, that may not be a problem soon, because you get a new version of Rift. Oh, wait, no, it's the exact same book, but this time hardcover.
Then it's not a new edition.
It's hardcover.
That doesn't make it a new edition.
Yeah, I know, because I have the black version, hardcover version from years and years and years ago, but this, the 30th anniversary version. It's not even all the Rift.
I think I lost you again. You back?
Yes, I am. Anyway, it's not all of the books, just some of them, but it's 4 books. And they're apparently going to expand it over time, so that why have the paperback version when you could have the, you know, hardback version of a book that is the same thing that they put out 20, 30 years ago?
If you don't fix your fucked up system, I don't want it.
But that's the problem. They never will. Palladium then is, they're all
they
about.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay for it.
No. I'm kind of torn.
Well, that's because you're a gamer whore who buys everything.
Sure, but no, I actually enjoyed Beyond the Supernatural, their horror game. I had it for a couple of years before I ever got into Rift. In fact, it's kind of what helped inspire Rift. Concept of when somebody gets sacrificed, they release their PPE.
Right.
Magical energy.
Potential energy.
Yes. So when all the nukes started going off during the apocalypse, led to Rift, all that massive amount of psychic energy ripped open these magical rifts, and voila, Chaos Earth rift. Anyway, by the way, Chaos Earth is one of the books that will be coming out in hardback. I wouldn't mind a new version, a new copy of Beyond the Supernatural in hardback, because my old copy of Beyond the Supernatural is kind of, you know, worn, but it's like 32 years old. That's going to happen.
Right. But it still has a broken system. I just don't see the point when there are better games out there.
I know. I'm not saying it's a great system. Clearly not. But in some games, it's not completely horrible. Palladium Role-Playing, their fantasy game, that's not horrible. I mean,
it's not great.
No, but since it doesn't have mega, every one of their games that doesn't have mega damage capacity are way better than Rift. I know, controversial subject, talking to Rifts fans, but mega damage sucks. Sorry, it does. It's simply ridiculous, and it breaks the system. But hey, whatever. I'm not going to get into it. But anyway, if anybody's really interested, they're putting out hardback books. Yay. I think they'd do better if they put out hardback books that fixed some of the content in the books, an updated version. Put out Rifts 2.0. Oh, they'll say, well, but that was this one edition, the Ultimate Edition. No, that cleaned up a little bit. But I'm talking, okay, if they're going to the trouble of putting out hardback editions, right, of their core games, which is pretty much all their core games, if they're going to do that, they should have made a fundamental change to the Palladium system first, then released new editions of every one of those books using the new and updated Palladium system. Well, so that it doesn't suck.
That would be nice. I love the setting of Rifts.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't talk. I just cannot handle that crappy system.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I don't understand why people tolerate it. But, you know, if you're still buying Rifts books after 30 years, well, you might as well be a diehard WoW player. Anyway, so I guess till next time, I'm Scormus.
I'm Bayless.
Eric, catchphrase ending.
You didn't listen, did you? Now, look at you. You are an absolute mess. But at least you survived to gibber and moan before our masters and overlords, Beerless and Scummers. Be sure to tremble under their baleful eye as you give this podcast a great review on the podcast service of your choice, or leave a nice comment over on their website, scummy.com. While you are there, check out all the other content they offer, and don't forget to join the Discord server. If you don't, they will know, and they will seek vengeance.